Keeping with the state budget, Governor Newsom spent almost 9 minutes of his presentation this morning talking about his, quote, parents' agenda and also investments in early childhood.
We are building the architecture for a new master plan in California, but it's a master plan for early learning and for child care. It's long overdue.
In his January budget, he proposed nearly $2 billion in funding for everything from preschool slots to training for child care providers and supports for new parents. Today, he fine-tuned some of those investments. KPCC's early childhood reporter Prisca Neely joins us now to walk us through some of it. Hello, Prisca.
Hey.
All right, so what's new?
So there are some proposals that go beyond just one-time funding. So the January budget had one-time funding, $500 million for child care. Now there's an additional $135 million. That's ongoing money that can help recreate spaces for the state-funded child care program. And some of that is actually coming from the cannabis fund, which is pretty interesting. Some other highlights, a proposal for an additional 2 weeks of paid parental leave, and that would be for each parent. Also, tax exemptions for diapers. The cost can really add up for some families. And we're also seeing some higher investments in the Black Infant Health Program.
All right, now that's a lot just right there. And in addition to these budget items, he's also putting together a team of advisors specializing in early childhood throughout his administration.
Yes. So since the beginning of the year, we've really seen a positioning of folks who are really passionate about the early years all throughout the cabinet. So his chief of staff is Anne O'Leary, who was an advisor to Hillary Clinton on child and family policies. California has a Surgeon General for the first time, Dr. Nadine Burke Harris, who has a focus on preventing childhood trauma. And he also has a senior policy advisor within the governor's office who's focused on early childhood education.
All right. Now, you've been interviewing some of these folks we're talking about. And today you're introducing us to Chris Perry, who's positioned in another part of the administration. Tell us about Chris Perry.
Yeah. So Chris Perry is working on early childhood initiatives within the Health and Human Services Agency. So she's focused on infants and toddlers, home visiting programs, developmental screenings, that type of thing that's outside of the education department. And she's just trying to figure out how all of these things intersect in all the different departments. So she says that in addition to the budget proposals that we're seeing in the messaging, all the speeches that Newsom is making about early childhood, it's really essential to look at the people who will shape those policies. So she's one of those people. And when I talked to her, she said this is a really special time, a really special opportunity in California, but also that it's really important and a challenge to balance the desire to really fully fund the services that California needs with the very real possibility that another recession could be around the corner.
It's one thing to come into office as Governor Brown did when things were very difficult and to lead us out of that difficult period. But to come in when things are in sort of boom times and know that there's lots of pent-up demand for services and supports across the state, it's really exciting to think about bringing people in while you can to solve some of these really long-standing problems we've had as a state with some resources that hopefully take us to a better place that we can sustain.
It seems kind of like a little ECE army.
Well, you know, within early childhood, there are health and human services programs, child care programs. There's licensing, there are facilities, there's a workforce. It's really complicated. There's higher education, parents, providers. You really do have to bring people in from all different sectors to get to the best possible solutions.
You mentioned we're in a really good place right now with the economy. What does it take to not have this be the first thing on the chopping block if the economy changes?
Well, what's interesting about early childhood is it's an extremely popular issue. What we haven't figured out in the early childhood movement is how to move voters from being interested in it to demanding it. And when you do get into tougher economic times and you are making tough choices, if people haven't quite reached the point where we must protect early education, you're right. What will happen is we'll probably have to shrink the resources that we're attributing to it and or take whole parts of it out. So that we can afford to at least meet some of the needs. But it's easier to keep that from happening if we all keep raising the profile of early childhood education and what it can do for our entire society. That's a job that goes beyond the early childhood experts and becomes something that everybody, business leaders, faith leaders, should be beating the drum around.
How did you get into this world? You've worked for Save the Children, First 5 Years Fund.
Yes.
How did you find your way into this work?
I went to social work school in San Francisco, and the very first thing I did when I left social work school was go to work in Alameda County as a child abuse investigator. And it was at the height of the HIV crack cocaine epidemic, and we were removing children from their homes every day for what was essentially unaddressed poverty and parents in great crises. And after a number of years of doing that kind of frontline work, I became more and more interested in bigger systems change and prevention versus sort of so downstream that you're removing children from their parents, which is essential at times, but we should be doing so much more to prevent that from happening, that I got more attracted to the preservation and prevention programs that would come from either the federal or state government.
So in kind of making the case to people who maybe, you know, aren't aware of the value of the early years, how do you make that connection for people who may not be thinking about early childhood day to day?
There is an economic argument for investing in early childhood. We know that the brain is growing more rapidly before your fifth birthday than at any other time in your life. And we also know we're spending as little as we can of public funds on children under the age of 5 as we possibly can. So we can all imagine that if you keep putting people on the outside of the lane and then add 20 years to that scenario, you don't have a prosperous, successful state. You have one where you're spending the vast amount of your resources on safety net programs, on criminal justice, on remediation. So investing in little kids has this sense of like almost infinite potential. But I think most people, children or no children, can remember their own childhood and can remember feeling like somebody invested in them.
That's something I always mention in my stories. It's just, you know, children become adults, and all adults, we were once children.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah, there.
Chris Perry, it's been so wonderful to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's KPCC's early childhood reporter, Priska Neely, talking with Chris Perry, who's working to implement early childhood initiatives with the state's Health and Human Services Agency. Priska, thanks a lot.
Thank you.